بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستهديه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. All praise and thanks are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We thank him, we ask for his guidance, his forgiveness, and we seek for his help subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we seek refuge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the evils within ourselves and the effects of our bad actions. Whomsoever Allah guides, nobody can lead astray. And whomsoever Allah guides, nobody can misguide. Last week we spoke about the three types of nafs, the three types of souls or individuals that exist. And those are the nafs al-ammara. And just very briefly to go over just so we can recap. Nafs al-ammara is the nafs who can never say no to his desires. Anything that's proposed to him, anything that's offered to him which may be wrong, he just follows. He can never control his desires of food or of greed or of anger or his emotions. He's always following his desires, has no self-control. That's nafs al-ammara, the controlling self. And that was mentioned in Surah Yusuf, وَمَا أُبَرِئُ نَفْسِي إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّوءِ. I don't hold myself as being innocent, it's myself which is inclined towards that controlling attribute which people have. And then there's nafs al-lawwama. Nafs al-lawwama is the person who goes back and forth, does wrong and repents, and goes back and forth. And that's better than nafs al-ammara, because at least he's admitting to the wrong. And then there's nafs al-mutma'inna, which is the highest level, nafs al-radiya biqada'illah. Nafs mutma'inna, happy, content, whatever Allah decrees, he's happy. He doesn't complain, he's constantly has amal, and he doesn't have any yet, because Iblis, ablasa means he despaired from Allah. He despaired from Allah's mercy. So he is Iblis, and we don't follow Iblis by having that yet and having that constant depression and feeling down. No, be happy. We see what Muhammad ﷺ went through, and we can see all the difficulties that the prophets went through. So you just get through it. You get through it. Alhamdulillah, our lives are a lot easier than what the prophets were exposed to, and what the people before us as well. So those are the three types of nafs. And then we mentioned the fourth nafs, which isn't even mentioned as a nafs in the Quran, because it's not mentioned, it's not worthy of mention, which is the nafs al-ghafila. People who are heedless from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. People who don't even, there's no priority for Allah in their life. They may pray, they may fast, they may do all the good things, but they don't have priority with Allah. And then we said they could be all four. You wake up one day, you pray fajr, you use dhikr, you read Quran, nafs al-mutma'inna, you feel happy. Then you go outside and you meet one of your friends, and he starts gossiping about another friend. You start gossiping, you backbite, nafs al-ammara, you follow your desire. And then you say, oh, astaghfirullah, you go home, I didn't mean that, nafs al-lawwama. And then you sit down in front of the TV and sit down watching all of these game shows, Deal or No Deal. Is he going to take the money? Is he going to go home? What's happening? That's nafs al-ghafila. You're just completely forgetting that there was a prayer. You miss Maghrib, you miss Aisha. That's nafs al-ghafila. You let something else distract you. And then, so those are the four types of nafs. So sometimes we can fall into all of them. And last week we said, let's question ourselves, which nafs are we? Are you the nafs al-ammara? Are you nafs al-mutma'inna? Are you nafs al-ghafila? Wal'audhu billah. And ghafileen are compared to animals. Wal'audhu billah. We don't want to be like that. Animals who are just grazing their lands, living their lives, not thinking of a higher cause. So those are the three types of nafs. And the ayah that I hope we all left with was, Inna Allah la yughayru ma biqawmin hatta yughayru ma bi'anfusihim. Allah does not change a people until they change what's in themselves. And some people look at the outside and start talking politics and spend hours talking about the politics and legislations, and speak within your own capability. There's nothing wrong to speak politics, because we all need to know what's going on. But at the same time, if you don't have the capability to change policies, why do you speak about them for so long? People spend hours talking about policies and different leaders and who should do this, who should do that. Stick to your family. أَنفُسُكُمْ وَأَهْلِكُمْ نَارًا. Protect yourselves and then your family's nara. And then if you have the capability, if you are a leader, then you're responsible for those. So the ulama and some of the sayings of the ulama, very beautiful sayings, and they said, one of the scholars said, إِنَّ أَوَّلَ شَيْءٍ يَسْتَحِقَّ أَن تُجَاهِدُهُ أَن تُجَاهِدُهُ نَفْسَكَ الَّتِي بَيْنَ جَنْبَيْكَ فَإِنْ انْتَصَرْتَ عَلَيْهَا كُنْتَ عَلَى غَيْرِهَا أَقْدَرُ وَإِنْ هَزَمْتَ إِمَامَ نَفْسَكَ كُنْتَ عَنْ غَيْرِهَا أَعْجَزُ. So one of the scholars says, the first thing which is worthy of you to fight, you to struggle against, is your nafs. Because if you overcome your nafs, you will be much more capable to overcome anything outside. And if your nafs defeats you, then against anyone else you will be useless. You won't be able to. If you can't defeat yourself, you'll never be able to defeat anyone else. And many examples we have in the Quran and the battles, even the battles of Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, people who had problems with their nafs, like Ghazwat Uhud. Ghazwat Uhud, it was said that the people who ran away is because they built up sins within themselves. They let themselves become nafs ammara sometimes. Nafs al-lawwama, the nafs ammara. So that's the reason why people fall short. And in Surah Al-Baqarah, when one of the prophets, after Musa alayhi salam, they said they wanted to go and fight and do jihad. But then it turned out they came down from, some of the scholars say they were 300,000. They came down to 300 after they were all sifted through. So you need to work on yourself, and then it gets outwards. It's from inside out. You don't put the roof of a house before you build the foundations. So that's what we said. So the scholars say the first thing you need to work on is yourself. And the scholars also say, عَبَأَ النَّفْسَ لَهُ. The enemies of the self are three. الدُّنْيَا وَالشَّيْطَانُ وَالنَّفْسِ. So the enemy of the self is the dunya, the world around you, all the materials. الشَّيْطَانُ, Eve, the devil. وَالنَّفْسِ, and your own soul, your own nafs, your own individual being. So he said, حَرَبِ الدُّنْيَا بِالزُّهْدِ فِيهَا. So fight the world بِالزُّهْدِ, by not letting it enter your heart. Zuhd doesn't mean going to live in a mountain and forgetting everyone. Zuhd means to not let it enter your heart. Say alhamdulillah, we don't want to accumulate too much things. And we look in our houses now, we have much more than we need. Alhamdulillah, not haram. But if it enters your heart and you become attached to it. So if somebody says to you, let's go and do this, or can you sacrifice a bit of money? People can't because they're so attached to their materials. So he said, حَرَبِ الدُّنْيَا بِالزُّهْدِ فِيهَا وَحَرَبِ الشَّيْطَانِ بِدَفْعِهِ. And fight the shaitan by saying, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. And استعاذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم is a very deep thing, and we need to understand. But what does it mean to say, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم? And we should all go back and try and look into what it really means. It's not just a magic word, you say it and it works. You have to understand, what does it mean to say, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم? We have to understand that is a very deep word, and you're seeking refuge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you have to tawakkul on Allah. So if you say, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, and you're hoping that somebody is going to help you, and you think that the nasr is within that person, that's not tawakkul. You have to believe fully that only Allah is going to help you. Only Allah. Yes, you have people who can help in the world, but only Allah is the one who truly gives that help. So حَرَبَ الشَّيْطَانُ بِتَفْعِيهِ وَحَرَبْ نَفْسَكَ بِالْمُجَاهَدَةِ. And fight yourself with mujahada. So we want to define, inshallah, what mujahada is. And he also said, الَّذِي لَا يُجَهِدُ نَفْسُهُ عَبْدْ ذَلِيلْ أَسِيرُ. Whoever does not struggle against himself is a slave, ذَلِيلْ, degraded, أَسِيرُ, he's a prisoner. You're degraded and you're a prisoner if you don't struggle against yourself. If every time somebody is able to push your buttons and you automatically respond, you're a prisoner to that emotion. You're a prisoner if somebody sees a girl walking down the street and he's not able to put his eyes down. Ghudd al-Bakr. It says in the Quran, Ghudd al-Bakr. If you can't do that, you're asir. You're a prisoner to that shahwa, to those appetizing things. You might find delight in it temporarily, but it will affect you. It will affect you later on. And as I mentioned last week, Arabic is very important for us to understand the Quran. Because the Quran is in Arabic and it's Lugha Arabiya, and Lugha Arabiya Fusha is a very deep language, and we said how important it is. And any science which is studied in Islamic studies, the first principle, I said there were 10 principles, we didn't go through them, but the 10 principles, the first one is called Hadd, which means definitions. Definitions and limitations. تَلْكَ حُدُودُ اللَّهِ. These are the limitations of Allah. فَلَا تَعْتَدُوهَا. So don't go beyond them. If somebody says this is jihad and then he goes beyond, saying jihad means this, jihad means putting a bomb on my chest and blowing myself up, he's atad al-hudud, he's gone beyond the hudud. He hasn't understood it properly. And hadd is the first thing. We have to understand, if jihad to me means a personal struggle, and to someone else means blowing yourself up, we don't understand. Same thing with freedom. Some people say freedom is freedom for me to do whatever I want. So that's his understanding. But freedom is to free yourself from those desires which hold you down. The things that hold you down, that's freedom in Islam. So we have to understand hadd, which is the definition of the word. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. Those who struggle towards us, towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will guide them to سُبُلَنَا, not سَبِيلَنَا, not one way, we'll guide them, we'll open paths to them. The people who strive to Allah, we will open paths. So there'll be سُبُلَنَا, many paths, not just one path, many paths. So jihad, the root word, as we know, is juh, jim, he, dal, jahada. And jahada means a struggle. And fulan badal juh, so-and-so exerted effort, summiya qad jahad. So he is a mujahid. He's a jahid if he exerts effort. And mujahada is mufa'ala min juhd. Mujahada means someone who is continuous. It's an ongoing word. Mujahada means the ongoingness of juhd. So this is jihad. Mujahada is somebody who's doing it. And it's not holy war, as you said, fighting for the sake of Islam is one of the aspects of jihad, but it's not the only thing. There are 14 stages which we'll quickly go through. 14 stages, one of them is to fight, and there are conditions to those rules as well. And if you look in the Seerah of Muhammad ﷺ, 13 years in Mecca, which is the majority of Muhammad ﷺ's prophecy, 13 years there was no war. Does that mean to say the people who were living in Mecca were not mujahideen? Of course they were mujahideen. Musa wa Fir'aun. Musa never fought a war. He never fought a physical war against an army. Is he not a mujahid? Musa, Kalimullah, is not mujahid? Of course he's mujahid. But how did he jihad? He jihad when he was talking to Fir'aun. And when he had to speak against him and hold back his temper, because it was said that he used to get a bit angry when he wanted to see the truth. But he had to hold back against that. That was a mujahid. He was a mujahid. So we can't say a mujahid is someone who just fights. No, Musa never fought. Musa called armies to fight, but they didn't respond. Bani Israel constantly argued with him, so he was never able to fight. The prophets after Musa alayhi salam, those were the ones who fought. So the nafs, or the mujahida, is split into 14 categories. Five for the nafs, the biggest one. Two for the shaitan, very simple. Two for the shaitan. Three for the asa, the people who commit sins and bad deeds and you see evil things. And four for the kuffar. Four for the people who disbelieve. And also we need to understand, what does kuffar mean? So the five for the nafs. The first one is dafa' al-shahwat, to push away the shahwat. You see something that tempts you, that you see, you like it, you're falling into desire, push that away, hold back from that. That's the first one. You have to be able to do that to carry on. If you're a seer, if you're a prisoner to those desires that hold you down, you'll never be able to go on to the next one. The next one is ilm, knowledge. And knowledge is a huge, huge, vast thing that we need to have. And if you open any book of fiqh or any book, Imam al-Bukhari, his book, Bab al-Ilm Qabl al-Qawl wal-Amal, the first chapter, the chapter of knowledge before speaking and action. You have to know. And there are many examples we see of people who make mistakes. I was in a Islamic event once, and they were raising money for the people in Darfur, which is a great thing. We have to do that. We have to join in these things. And they were saying, who wants to donate one? One is £200. Yes, brother, three, four, five. So they were raising money. That's a good thing. This is very much encouraged in Islam. And one brother came up, astaghfirullah, this is wrong. You're supposed to, the left hand shouldn't see what the right hand is doing when you give sadaqah. Who said that? There is a hadith, yes, the left hand doesn't see what the right hand is doing. That's when you're doing it sirran. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, بِاللِّ سِرًّا وَعَلَيَّةً, give in the way of Allah in secret and in openly. So there are two conditions. Secret is between you and Allah. Openly is to encourage people to do it. Because when you see somebody giving money, he'll give money and he'll give money. So he had a misunderstanding of the hadith. He took one hadith, astaghfirullah, these people are kafirs, and he walks out. That's because he doesn't have ilm. He didn't study with anyone. He opened a book, read it in English. Okay, this is bid'ah. Okay, that's his decision. But he didn't have ilm. And ilm, we need to know ilm for a lot of things. We need to know fiqh salah. When you pray, you need to know how to pray. What are the rules of prayer? What are the rules of wudu? These are things that is fard ayn. These are like obligatory on everyone. Anyone who prays, you have to be able to know the fiqh of salah, fiqh of wudu. If you go into business, you need to know the fiqh of business. Because you need to know what halal transactions are and what haram transactions are. If you get married, you need to know fiqh al-jawaz or fiqh al-talaq. You need to know the fiqh, the how you go about getting married, how you go about getting divorced. And we hope nobody has to get divorced, because it's the aghdab al-halal, it's the worst of halal. But at the same time, you need to know how to go about it. Because people are unjust to their wives sometimes, and wives, and people do things which are haram. So you need to know the rules and legislations behind it. And depending on your madhab, it doesn't matter. But follow whatever you see is right, with a sheikh. So the first one is daf' al-shahawat, pushing away the shahawat. The second one is ilm. And ilm, as we said, fiqh, we need to know Qur'an as well. Qur'an is a huge thing. Some people open the Qur'an just once a year in Ramadan. We need to have the Qur'an to continue the thing in our life. This is our book of guidance. And some people can't recite the Qur'an, and we make mistakes, and we don't know the surahs. Some people can tell you the whole track list of an album, say, Michael Jackson's album, or so-and-so's new album. They can tell you all of the tracks, but they can't tell you the surahs in the Qur'an. Oh, is that a surah in the Qur'an? I never knew that. People say, is that a surah? I never knew that was a surah. Is there a surah for Surah Muhammad? I never knew that. People have said that. So we need to know the Qur'an. And we also need to know aqidah, but we don't need to stress on aqidah. Aqidah is, the stress that people have on aqidah these days is a disease of many times. Aqidah was never, ever, ever studied as a huge topic. You can learn aqidah with a sheikh within 1 hour. Sit down with a sheikh, he'll go over a simple text of aqidah. If you want to know the differences of aqidah, 2 hours. Wallahi, it's not difficult. Some of the scholars said, if you know Qul Huwallahu Ahad properly, that's it, your aqidah is sound. So stressing on our aqidah is important, but the stressing, just to know who Allah is and what attributes of Allah, we need to know. But we don't need to stress on it so much. People stress on aqidah and they forget the actions, the good actions. And Allah isn't going to ask you, what did you know about me? He's going to ask, what did you do? What's the point of us studying aqidah? And does Allah have a face or does He have a hand? That's not going to benefit us at all. What's going to benefit us is, what did you do? Allah doesn't have to answer to us, we have to answer to Allah. So that's what we need to think about, brothers and sisters. We don't say, does Allah have a hand? And people get into arguments. Oh, the Imam and so-and-so said this. There's a difference of opinion, and we're open to that difference of opinion. So ilm is very important, that we know knowledge as well, not to get into the wrong type of knowledge. And how to, and you need to follow with the sheikh, have someone to guide you through it, because it's very important. And the next step, so the first is dafa' shahawat, pushing away the shahawat. The second one is ilm. The third one is amal bima ta'allamt, is to apply what you've learned. So you've learned that salah is fard, and salah is amad al-deen. Salah is the central column of the religion. So you know that's the qada of Islam, you know that salah, you know the five pillars of Islam, apply it. Don't neglect your prayer, don't neglect your fasting, don't neglect your zakah. These things, you know they're true, apply. So you need to apply what you know. The fourth one is da'wah illa ma ta'allamtuhu wa amalta bihi, is to invite people to what you have learned and what you applied. So if you haven't learned it properly, you haven't applied it, you can't call people to it. And it says da'wah, not jidal, not argumentation. Dawah, when you invite someone to your house, do you argue with them? Do you tell them off? You don't. Inviting people is a nice way. جَدِّلْهُمْ بِالَّتِي هَيَ أَحْسَنْ. If you are going to argue, argue in a nice, in a way which is more beautiful. أَحْسَنْ. أَحْسَنْ comes from beauty. A beautiful way. Muhammad never argued with people in a way which made them upset or made them leave. Abu Sufyan, 18 years he was calling into Islam. And he became a Muslim. وَأَحْسَنْ إِسْلَامُ. And he perfected Islam. So he wasn't going to hurt him, constantly hurt him. And Abu Sufyan never found a fault in Muhammad. He said how beautiful he was and what a great character, because he did it in a nice way. Da'wah, not jidal, da'wah, calling people. And the last and fifth one for the nafs is as-sabr ala al-mashaq, which is having patience for the difficulties you have. Somebody will make fun of you, look at those people praying, look at those people bowing down on the floors, what they're doing, all of these mockery, all of these things. That's a sabr you have to have, the patience. So those are the five daragat, five steps of jihad of nafs. Those are the steps we have to get through. Can we just move slightly forward, brothers, for to make space for anyone coming? The second type of jihad is jihad for shaitan, jihad against shaitan. And there are only two against shaitan. The first one is dafa' shaitan for what he invites you from shahawat. So he tells you, do this. You say, I'll blame shaitan, simple, that's it. He doesn't come to you again for that one, he'll come to something else. And the second one is dafa' fi shubuhat, is to push away the whispers of the shaitan, shubuhat, which is the whispers of yaqeen fillah, where people say, oh, where is Allah? Who is Allah? That's why you need to know ilm first. You have to have the knowledge. The shaitan will come and say to you, if everyone in hell and heaven is already destined, why do I need to bother? That's what people say. There are sects in Islam who say that. So they don't bother. They just have a spiritual connection with Allah and they don't bother. So we need to push the shaitan away from that. A'udhu billah. We have to do actions and we have to be spiritual, and there's a balance. So shaitan is very simple. A'udhu billahi shaitan, and a'udhu billahi shaitan for the shubuhat as well. When he invites you to do things which are somewhat causing a confusion in your mind. And the third type of jihad is jihad al-asa, jihad of the people who are doing wrong. And we know the hadith, مَنْ رَأَ مِنْكُمْ مُنْكَرًا فَلِغَيِّرُوا بِيَدِهِ. Whoever sees an evil action, فَلِغَيِّرُوا بِيَدِهِ. فَإِنْ يَسْتَطَعْ. So you change it with your hand if you are able. If you see your children fighting, stop them. If you see something haram that you are able to help with, or something wrong, stop it. وَمَنْ لَنْ يَسْتَطَعْ. And whoever is not able to, فَبِلِّسَانِ. Shout out, say something. Say this is wrong. Stop it like that. وَإِنْ لَنْ يَسْتَطَعْ فَيَحْلَ عَلَيْهِ الْقَلْبِ. And if you can't do that, at least have some sorrow in your heart. وَذَلِكَ أَضَعْفُ الْإِيمَانِ. And this is the weakest of faith. So those are the three stages of asa, when you see something wrong. That's another type of jihad. And if you're in any one of these, you're mujahid. Because you're struggling to get to the next one. If you're learning knowledge, you're a mujahid. You're trying to apply it, that's a mujahid. You're trying to call people to it, mujahid. You're patient when people are making fun of you, that's a mujahid. You're stopping shaitan. All of these things, mujahid. That's what jihad is. So those are the three types of the heart. And then there's the last one, which is for the kuffar. I mean, you don't understand what kuffar is, brothers and sisters, because many people call out, this is the kuffar. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and the problem that we have with Islam, we really haven't studied the Quran properly. People name Muslims. You're Salafi, you're Sufi, you're Hanbali, you're Ahmadi, you're this, you're that, all of the different types of names. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, هُوَ الَّذِي سَمَّاكُمْ مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. Allah says He has named you مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. You are Muslims. أُمَّةً وَحِدَةً. You are one ummah. So people name, and some people come up to you, what type of Muslim are you? Are you this? Are you that? And they immediately have an opinion about you. SubhanAllah. And Allah says, هُوَ الَّذِي سَمَّاكُمْ مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. He has named you Muslims. Why do you try to cause different differences of names? And then for the kuffar, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has separated in names and types, that's kuffar, astaghfirullah, all of them under one man, kuffar. When there are different types of kuffar, and the scholars have split them into 10 types. We don't have time to go through them, but there are 10 types. Kufr al-anad, people who are stubborn. Kufr al-kibr, people who are arrogant. Kufr iblis has a different type of kufr. Kufr of ingratitude, people who are ungratitude to Allah, like iblis, he was ungratitude. Kufr iblis believes in Allah, but he has a different type of kufr. So we have to understand that we're different types of kufr, and we can't just say all of these are kuffar, and we have to apply this type of kufr, this type of jihad to all of them. No, there are different types, and inshallah we'll just quickly go through that in the second khutbah. أقول قول هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم. بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. There was a scholar in Egypt, Imam al-Sawi. He was giving a lecture and he was talking about jihad and the issue that we're talking about now. And somebody came up and said, he stood up and he wanted to argue with the sheikh. He said, whoever doesn't fight the kuffar, whoever doesn't strive with bima anzal Allah, fa'ula'ikahum al-kafirun. Whoever doesn't fight or ahkum bima anzal Allah, fa'ula'ikahum al-kafirun. These are the kafirun. So Imam al-Sawi, he sorted out his jihad al-nafs. He said, Jazakallah khairan. What surah is that in, brother? God doesn't know. Surah al-Ma'idah, he doesn't know. What's the ayah before that, brother? He doesn't know. What's the ayah after that? Do you know? Or is it just a specific ayah? Or is it for a particular time? I don't know. So then Imam al-Sawi said to him, what do you do for a living? He said, I'm a mechanic. He said, well, just keep fix cars. Don't bother with all of this. This isn't your business. So he's trying to take one ayah out of context. He wants to call all of the Muslim leaders, they are kuffar. We can't do that. This is something we leave to Allah. Because if you call somebody kafir, it goes up to Allah and it will come down on one of you. So either, and that's the only condition. Like if somebody says to you, you are a munafiq or you're this, you're allowed to answer back. You're not allowed to answer back. You're a liar. You're not allowed to answer back. But if somebody says you're a kafir, you're allowed to answer back because you are a kafir. Because you're probably not a kafir, and he is probably a kafir because he's calling you one. So that's very, very important. We don't call people kafir, even if we can see them doing wrong. Umar ibn Khattab, it was said he was loved by Allah before he was Muslim, before he became Muslim. So we need to be very careful. You can say one word to people, and you don't even think about it. But under Allah, Azeem, it could be a great word. And somebody has the potential to become a Muslim, and you're pushing him away by keep calling him kafir, kafir, kafir. What does kafir mean in English? Oh, infidel. Oh, they're calling us infidels. They're the infidels. And then we keep getting into arguments. That's not what we need, brothers and sisters. So, the jihad al-kuffar, first is by hating what they're doing. So if you see a kafir, and this is also, Allah says He doesn't mind that you show birr, you show tabarruhum, wa tuqsitu ilayhim. Allah doesn't mind that you show birr, and birr encompasses many goods. Birr al-walidain, when you're good to your parents, Allah says He doesn't mind that you show birr to people who are good to you, and don't fight you, and don't kick you out of your land. There's no problem with that. The problem is the people who are attacking you, and attacking Islam, and fighting. You have to have hatred for that. And hatred is something that Allah has created in our hearts. We have hate, but it's channeling it properly. So you have hatred in your heart. You don't want to copy what they're doing. You hate what they're doing. And the first one is hate. The second one is speaking out. This is wrong. There's no honor in somebody going in a plane dropping bombs on innocent civilians in Palestine and in Iraq and Afghanistan. We speak out about this. We say this is wrong. There's no honor in that. And there's no honor in people standing 10 miles away, pushing a button and throwing a bomb on people they don't know who they're fighting. There's no honor in that. We speak out. That is wrong. That is jihad al-kuffar. Speaking out. Alhamdulillah, we have the ability to speak, so we say these things clearly. Doesn't mean to say we have to kill them. But we say there's no honor in cowardly combat. Muhammad said, if you go into war, you stay a man to man. You don't fight like cowards, throwing things from far away. And like people, you know, they push bombs. And in Palestine, we've seen terrible things happen. Do we still remember what happened just not long ago in Palestine? And people are still suffering. People are still suffering from this. Which is the next step of jihad al-kuffar, is by giving charity to the people who are affected. We see people in Palestine, Iraq, Kashmir, all of the countries where there's a lot of bloodshed. We need to give money and help these people. Alhamdulillah, we're better off. Say to yourself, instead of buying a coffee a week, I won't buy this coffee once a week, £1. every day some people pay, buy 4 or 5 coffees a day. If you go to places like Starbucks and these places, people pay £3-4 for coffee. Say, I won't have any more coffee. I'll give that money to someone. Just try and sacrifice one thing so you can do help the brothers and sisters who are in need. And the last one is jihad bin nafs, which is actually fighting. And they have many conditions. We have conditions for us to go and fight bin nafs, actually fighting in war. There are many conditions, and you can't just get up and declare war. It has to be done in a legitimate way, and there are many restrictions for that. So a lot of Muslims argue, and a lot of Muslims get into argumentation over all of these things. If we can sort out our jihad, we just have 5 for the nafs, 2 for the shaitan, 3 for the people who are doing wrong, and 4 for the kuffar. Now, just a word of advice, one from one of our scholars, and one from Muhammad Sallam, and then we'll end inshallah. Ibn al-Qayyim, he said to the people who have low, very low azm, which is willpower. People have low willpower to overcome their nafs. He said, "Ya da'if al-azmi, inna tariq shakh fihi nuh." Verily, this tariq to Allah, Nuh struggled and struggled in this tariq. 950 years he struggled. So Nuh struggled in this year. Wudubiha fihi Yahya. And Yahya, the cousin of Isa alayhi salam, was beheaded in the way of Allah. وَنُشِرَ فِيهِ زَكَرِيَّ بِالْمَنَشِيرِ. And Zakaria, the Prophet Zakaria, he was cut into pieces with a sword. You know, that's what happened to Zakaria. That's how Zakaria died. The Prophet of Allah, he was cut into pieces with swords. That's what they did to him. وَأَلْقَى فِي النَّارِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ. And Ibrahim was thrown into fire. وَعَذَّبَ فِيهِ مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. And Muhammad was punished and tortured. وَأَنْتَ تُرِيدَ الْإِسْلَامَ السَّهْلَ الَّذِي يَأْتِيكَ بَيْنَ جَنْبَيْكَ أَوْ الَّذِي يَأْتِيكَ إِلَى قَدَمَيْكَ. And you want the easy Islam that comes to you in front of you? He said, no, you have to struggle. That's the struggle. So we really need to have this sense of struggle, inshallah, brothers and sisters. And the last word of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He advised, all of Muhammad sallallahu said that الدين نصيحة. Religion is advice, and we need to advise each other. So he said, أختم الخمس قبل خمس. He said, benefit 5 things before 5 things. And these all related to the nafs as well, because we're only here for a short amount of time. أختم الخمس قبل خمس. شبابك قبل حرمك. He said, your youth before your age, when you get old. Because شباب, الشعب النار means fire. It comes from the word fire. So when you're developing yourself and you have the energy, when you have the youth and power, benefit from your youth before you get old. That was his first one. He says, وصحتك قبل سقمك. And your health, your good health before being ill. When you're healthy, use that good health for something good before you get ill. And he says, مَالَكَ قَبْلَ فَقْرِكَ. And your wealth before your poverty. So being wealthy, if you have wealth, use it in good before you get poor. وَفَرَاغَكَ. Your free time. Especially sometimes students have a lot of free time in the summer. Use your free time before your preoccupied time. Use the time. And all of us will say, if only when I was younger. Ibn Abbas, who was the cousin of Muhammad, he, when he was young, he sat down and studied and studied and studied. And all of the children used to say, why don't you come and play with us? I'm too busy, I want to study. And when he was older, and he was called Turjuman al-Quran, he was the person able to give tafsir of Quran. When he was older, the people who were playing when they were young, they said, if only we sat down with him for a little while. So he benefited from his youth, he benefited from his free time, and he became Ibn Abbas, who we all know. Ibn Abbas has great tafsir on the Quran. And the last thing that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us to benefit from is وَحَيَاتِكَ قَبْلَ مَمَاتِكَ. Your life before your death. Because this is the preparation for the hereafter. So if we can all, inshaAllah, try to work on the jihad al-nafs. Jihad al-nafs is overcoming the self. The 5, as we said, which is shahawat, pushing them away. Ilm, learning your knowledge. Practicing what you preach. Calling people to what you've already practiced. And then salt, having a salt. Shaitan is 2. Say A'udhu billahi shaitan when he causes you to do wrong. A'udhu billahi shaitan when he causes confusion in your head about Allah. The third thing is for Alasa, stop people when they're doing wrong, stop with your hand. If you can't with your tongue, if you can't, then ahzan alayhim, have yani huzn, be upset about it. And then the kuffar, where they have rules and there's legislation for it. But the first one is to hate what they're doing. The second one is to speak out against them. The third one is to give charity in the way of Allah. And the fourth one is with your own body, with fighting in the way of Allah. But there are conditions to that one. So inshallah, if we can all try and be mujahid one way or the other, be it ilm, practicing ilm, preaching or giving da'wah or calling people, having patience, if we can get into that band, ikhwana wallahi, we will see a difference. And if we can remember this ayah, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. Allah does not change a people until they change what's in themselves. That's Surah Al-Ra'd. Until they change what's in themselves. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا ابراهيم وعلى ال سيدنا ابراهيم انك حميد مجيد. اللهم اغفر للمسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الاحياء منهم والاموات. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد واجعلنا على خطاه يا رب العالمين. اللهم اهدنا يا رب العالمين. اللهم اغفر لنا واعف عنا وارحمنا انك انت عفو كريم تحب العفو فاعف عنا. اللهم انك عفو كريم تحب العفو فاعف عنا. اللهم عنا على مجاهده انفسنا يا رب العالمين. اللهم اجعلنا من الذين يسمعون القول فيتبعون احسنه. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. آمين آمين آمين. صلى الله وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد. إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله يذكركم واشكروه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون. وأقم الصلاة.